Are going to look at the only time God, well, some people would argue this, but I say it's the only time the Lord, God did not answer Jesus' prayer. And I think it's important for us to understand. We're going to learn so much for this. We looked 2 weeks ago. Steve, I need some help, please. We looked 2 weeks ago at this portion of Scripture, and I'm glad we did, but here's what I want to say to you, that I think that there's another angle here that I want to take with this that I believe is going to be a great help to you. Let's put it this way. It was a great help to me, and just see what the Lord has for us this morning, but we're going to read verses 39 to 46 this morning. Our focus is going to be on verse 42, but let's read that portion of Scripture for context. It says, "And he came out and went as he was wont," which means as he normally did, or regularly did, "to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed," verse 42, "saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation." But again, verse 42, "saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And we entitled the message here this morning, "How Jesus Handled Unanswered Prayer." How Jesus handled unanswered prayer. Let's ask for his blessing on this. Father, we thank you for this time you've given us together. And I pray, Lord, that you'll use this message to be an encouragement to someone. There are a few of us, if any, in here this morning that haven't experienced this. And Lord, I pray now that you will bless us and help us, and you'll work in this. Thank you, God, for all that you're doing, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we are told to pray, aren't we? The Bible commands us to pray. We're to pray without ceasing. We're told that God will answer our prayers. But when we don't get answers, or should I say, look up here, please, or at least the answers that we want, we get discouraged. And sometimes we stop praying, even though we know the answers to that we still might get, but we tend to stop. You know, we think victory in prayer is only when God says yes. Let me say that again. We think victory in prayer is only when God says yes. When in fact, what you will find, and I'm going to assume you have experienced, and yet it's a lesson we have a tough time with, is that that's not always the case. We carry heavy burdens, and we want those burdens lifted. And we're told in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Well, yes, we're to cast it on him. We think, though, that that means he's always going to take it away. It's not what it means. And God allows us to carry or to have some burdens. Yes, we are to give them to him to carry, but we don't always get the answer we wanted. We look at this portion shows us that Jesus had a prayer go unanswered. And sometimes for the victory for us is not the answer yes. Sometimes the answer to pray, the victory for us is how we handle it. As we mature in our walk, we understand that prayer is vital. It's as vital as breath. Jesus sure felt that way. We come to this scripture, and I want you to notice, first of all, as we look at it, I want you to see, Steve, I need your help, please. Number one, the request of Christ. Number one, I want you to notice the request of Christ. Now, we know something, and I shared this 2 weeks ago when I preached on a different angle from this. What you're seeing in this prayer is the human side of Jesus. You're seeing the human side. What do I mean by that? Well, Jesus was 100% God on the inside, but he was 100% human on the outside without sin. Jesus couldn't sin, or he would have ceased to have been God. And what you're seeing here is a glimpse of the human side. Because from him being God, he already knows what's going to happen. He knows what's going to happen. So the first thing you see here is as we see this request that he made, first of all, we see it as his resource. The first thing we see about prayer is we see it as his resource. You realize the pressure was so great on Jesus. The Bible says that he sweat drops of blood, and there's a medical term for it, and I gave that a couple weeks ago, but the pressure. But here's what I want you to get. It got him on his knees. Now, that was not unusual for Jesus. You'll find Jesus praying all the time. You'll find him praying in the desert. You'll find him praying with people. You'll find him praying early. You'll find him praying late. You'll find him praying often. He understood this. You know, the interesting thing is, if you'll get on your knees, you won't break. But this is the only time we find, I believe, that we find his prayer didn't get answered. But you find him praying regardless. Listen, Psalm 50 verse 15, and call upon me, this is the Lord, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and then thou shalt glorify me. James 5, 13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. We see it in Scripture, we see it all over the place. The idea of praying. So Jesus, the one we're supposed to be like, the one we're supposed to be heading towards, we find him regularly in prayer. But not only do we see him as someone who understood prayer and utilized prayer, we see it as a resource, but we see his request as reasonable. So not only did he use prayer as a resource, but we see that this request was reasonable. There's no one who likes to suffer. You know, no one would look forward to being beaten or whipped or spit on or nailed to a cross. But I would submit to you this morning, I don't think this is the thing that Christ dreaded the most. All those things I just mentioned. I think the thing he dreaded most was the separation from his Father. I believe the thing he dreaded most, and you and I will never understand this, we will never get it, is that in the one time in history where God took all of the sins from human history, not just from Adam and Eve on up to the time of Christ, but from the time of Christ future. And God took all of those sins and concentrated them into a wrath that came directly onto Jesus. And thus, we do not find this request to be unreasonable. In fact, it's quite reasonable that he knows these things are about to happen to him. He knows it's unjust, but that's not why he's praying this. It's because he understands exactly what's going to happen. In fact, G. Campbell Morgan said this. He called it the terrors of the cross. Because Jesus knew exactly what was coming his way. You see, we see the request of Christ. We see it as, he saw prayer as his resource. We see his request as reasonable. Can I say this to you? We see his request as respectful. Look what he says here. In verse 42, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. First of all, Jesus understood the Father's position. We'll read in John 15 that we are to pray in Jesus' name, but we pray to the Father. That's who we pray to. Philip Yancey said this, God alone is qualified to answer prayer. So when I pray, I'm not praying to Mary. I'm not praying to the Holy Spirit. I'm praying to God the Father. Because he's the one who answers the prayer. But I am praying in Jesus' name because he is the only one worthy. So we see him, he understood the Father's position, but he also understood that the Father had a plan. And I want you to look at the end of verse 42. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. God's will was good enough for Jesus. Is it good enough for us? Even when it doesn't go the way we want it to go? God's plan is far bigger. You know, you look at open up the hood of a car, and there are a whole lot of moving parts in there. And they're all dependent one upon another, aren't they? If one goes, a whole bunch could go. Am I telling the truth? God's plan has a whole bunch of moving parts. God has an eternal destiny. He has a will that will not be thwarted. And yet, you and I are in the midst of it. Yes, we get to make choices, but he knows what they're going to be. But he has issues that come into our lives that we want to go away, but because they're a part of a bigger plan, he doesn't allow that. It doesn't mean that our requests aren't good. It doesn't mean that our requests are unreasonable. But the greater understanding is that the Father has a plan. And we're going to touch on this a little bit more often. We've seen the request of Christ, okay? The second thing I want you to see is the rejection by the Father. The rejection by the Father. What did Christ hear from his request? From what we can tell, he absolutely heard silence. Crickets. We can all identify with that, can't we? We can all understand that. Now, the Bible teaches that there are hindrances to prayer. I want you to get this. Listen, come on, everybody focus. The Bible teaches there are hindrances to prayer. Unconfessed sin is one. If you want scripture, I can give you scriptures, but I'm just going to list them for you. Unconfessed sin. A lack of forgiveness can hinder prayer. Husbands, if you're not right with God and your wife, it can hinder prayer. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. By the way, Proverbs 28:9 teaches a lack of respect for God's word can hinder prayer. Proverbs 28:9, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayers shall be abomination. So there are hindrances to it. But you know what I know about Jesus? There was no hindrance to his prayer because he was sinless. Therefore, these four reasons that I have given you would not apply to Jesus. It's just that sometimes the answer is no. So what are we going to do with that? In 1 John 5:14, the Bible says this, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Can I say that again? And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Then comes the real battle. Do we trust God or do we listen to our enemy? Do we trust truth or do we trust feelings? There are people in church, not in church this morning, because if God really loves me, he would have taken something away from me. What that tells me is that somebody who's not walking with God. Because Jesus, what did he say? Not my will, but thine be done. 1 John 5:14 says that if we ask according to his will, he heareth us. So what do I want? Do I want his will to be done? We call it the Lord, some people call it the Lord's Prayer. We call it correctly the model prayer. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? Most people who say that don't mean that in one bit, because what we're saying is that if it's not comfortable, I don't want it. You know, some people say that when they don't get their way, if God is so good, why did he allow this to happen? Or why doesn't he take it away? Do you realize that is not the response of Christ? That's not his response. And again, we're supposed to be Christ-like. He is about to suffer something that no one in eternity will understand but him. It will be so severe, it will be so traumatic, it will be so difficult that even as he's praying about it, he's sweating drops of blood. So what did he do thirdly, as we look about, what did he do? Well, let me give you this, the resolution of Christ. Thirdly, the resolution of Christ. First of all, there is surrender. Now, we're in the book of Luke, and we have this account. But if you look at the other gospel accounts, and you put them in here, do you know what you'll find? That Jesus prayed three times in the garden. We have one. But if you look at the gospels, he prayed three times. And you know what he did in his surrender? He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine. You know what he did? Look here. He said, God heard me. God heard me. We pray, and we should be praying regularly. We should be praying daily, and again, without ceasing. And so I take my burden to God. I try to make sure that, at the very least, the four things I mentioned, I try to make sure that the hindrances are out of the way. And I bear my heart to Him, and I bear it to the Father in the name of Jesus. Do you know what I can have confidence of? He heard me. Jesus knows the Father heard him. His faith was in God's plan. Our bitterness and our anger to God not answering our prayers the way we want are selfish reactions that reveal how little we know about God. If I know the God of the Bible, here's what I want. I want His will to be done. I want to be a part of that will. And you know what happens? If I said to you, hey, do you want to be a part of God's plan? Do you want Him to use you for His glory, in the plan of redemption that He has for the world? Probably everyone in this room would say, count me in. I want to be a part of that plan. Until you find out that for you it might require suffering. And yet, when Jesus came to the earth, the whole plan was that He was going to die on that cross. We just want to be comfortable. Yeah, God, well, if it's not inconvenient, I want to be a part of your plan. If there's no sacrifice, I'll be a part of you. If there's no discomfort, if there's no inconvenience, whatever it is, yeah, I'll be a part of the plan. That's not how it works. Jesus left His Father to come to this earth in order to be born as a baby, in order to be rejected. Some of you are aware, His siblings, Jesus' half-siblings, I always say this, they had a different father, amen? But His brothers and sisters did not believe He was the Messiah until after the resurrection. Can you imagine? In fact, we have accounts in the New Testament of them almost mocking Him and challenging Him. And He went through that. And then needless to say, the cross and all the junk He went through. And this is what we say. I don't want to be inconvenienced. I don't want to have difficulties in my life. I don't want to suffer. But if I want to be a part of God's plan, here's what I know. Most likely, in fact, more than most likely, it's going to involve some suffering. It's going to involve some difficulty. So we see that Jesus surrendered. See, Jesus was dependent on the Father to see the plan through. And that is a truth that allowed Christ to go on. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine. It allowed Him to go on and will allow us to do the same. Here's what He did that you and I need to do. We pray, we ask Him. We're not getting the answer we want. In fact, we might be getting silence. You know what we have to do? We have to trust Him. We have to trust Him. That we are a part of His plan. You know what I don't want to be? I don't want to be a cautionary tale. I don't want to be saying, hey, look at him. Don't do what he did. You and I, we fight God. We lose. Every single time. But again, here Jesus is in His humanity. He's made the request. As I shared with you, three times He goes to the Father. It's not changing. And sometimes the most difficult things in our lives, the most difficult issues in your life and in my life, He says no. Now there are some things he's promised with. And there are some things that we can make better. But in many cases, if it's something, whatever the case is, we must go on trusting God. We see his surrender. And finally, can I say this to you? You're going to get out early this morning, so you can thank me by being here tonight. We see it in the resolution of Christ. We see his surrender. But I want you to see the satisfaction. Notice what he says again in the verse here. He said to them, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." You see, the answer is for God's glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31, "For whatsoever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Is that what we're living for? See, when we become bitter with God not answering certain prayers in our lives, what we are showing is that we're living for our will, that we're living for our life as opposed to the glory of God. If I were to ask, how many of you, your life has turned out just the way you thought it would? Or you had prayed when you were a kid. Most answers are going to be no. Okay, here's my question. How do you resolve that? Well, it's very simple. Listen. It's by simply trusting God. Yeah, most of us have made some mistakes on the road that have altered our course. No doubt about it. There are some other things. But God knew about those. And God is taking this plan. I was telling our class that Sandy and I took a walk last night. And we were talking about her big birthday that's coming up. Her real big birthday that's coming up. I mean, humongous birthday that's coming up. And my oldest son ruined the secret. He's going to take her up to Pittsburgh and to where our family is, and everybody was going to come in. Well, he ruined it. It's okay. We're taking our walk last night. And you know what we said? We didn't realize we would be talking about the issues that we're talking about. With our age, with where our kids are, with all these kind of things. We never saw these discussions coming. And you want to know something? We didn't need to. We didn't need to be concerned with those back then. It doesn't stop. The issues don't stop until Jesus comes or we go home. You know, my father-in-law, my goodness, and at 92, getting ready to turn 93, still living in his house. And I was sharing that one of the things I did was I tore up, Rob, a 50 or 60 year old carpet in the basement that had water on it, was musty. Truth is, I found the seams in it, so I was able to put my foot down, you know, and rip it. And I had the carpet that did half of their basement. Well, Sandy helped me take it out, but I had it ripped up, and we had it taken out to a trailer within 15 minutes. But between the night before I did it and the morning I did it, my father-in-law probably brought it up 3 or 4 times. You want to know why? Because it's what was on his mind. You and I, and we look at that and go, why was he so stressed out about it? Ask a 92-year-old man. You and I deal with things all the time, and sometimes the issues shift and they change. And God wants to be a part of them, but just maybe he's allowing those issues to stay in our lives Because guess what? The answer is for our benefit. The lack of answer is for our benefit. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, it was talking about the cross, and it says, for the joy that was set before him. Jesus in his humanity, at that very moment we read about in Luke 22, saw the suffering. But past it was joy. Because he was sitting down at the right hand of the Father, never more to suffer like he did on her heart, to or her husband's heart, Jim Elliot. By the way, you can get Jim Elliot's journals, and they are quite challenging. I have them. And they went down to Ecuador. They had done several things to make connections with the savages. They had dropped a presence from a plane. They had done a bunch of things to make communication. Everything just seemed perfect. Well, the pilot of the plane, his name was Nate Saint. Nate Saint landed the plane on a sandbar. They decided it was time to go in. They had more presence, but what they didn't realize is these four missionaries were about to be ambushed, and they were going to be speared, and they were going to be killed. Elizabeth Elliot had just had a baby 9 or 10 months before that. I heard this testimony not long ago. She was talking about it. Now, again, she's with the Lord, but it was a recording. And she said she prayed every day for Jim's safety. Every day. And she prayed, here she is, now a widow, a single mother in the jungle. Well, not only did she accept it, she stayed there. But you could say, well, now how does God get the glory for that? Do you realize through the testimony of Jim Elliot, thousands of people went to the mission field. Thousands went. Elizabeth Elliot gained an audience, and if you've ever heard her speak, you know she was a humble woman. But she would talk about raising children. She got remarried, but she only had the one daughter, and she spoke to thousands of women at a time. Now, I'm going to tell you something I used to say, but I can't say anymore. I had heard her, she has a radio program, and I heard her, and she was speaking at a place near where we lived when we were in Georgia, and I said, man, I'd almost shave my legs and put on a dress to go hear her speak. Now you can't say that, can you? People will think you're something, yeah, you know. Anyway. She prayed Jim wouldn't die. She prayed for safety. But God said he needs to die. Oh, by the way, he needed to go to heaven. But here's this widow and here's this baby. Well, certainly God can't be good. Only in eternity will we know how many tens of thousands of people trusted Christ as their Savior because her prayer wasn't answered. Only in eternity, if you handle things correctly, will you find out why God said no. But here's what you can know, that if you're living for God's glory, it's going to mean something. Our confidence is in the fact that God is right. Let's say that together. Our confidence, say it with me, our confidence is in the fact that God is right. Let's say it again. Our confidence is in the fact that God is right. God has heard me. God has a better plan. And my difficulty is part of that plan. That's what Jesus said. Not my will, but thine. how do you think Jesus handled the trials quietly and contently? He went through his trials. He didn't say a word. He was just as calm as a cucumber and just went through. How did he do that? He was in the will of God. We are to trust God's wisdom and we are to rest in his goodness. Psalm 84:11, for the Lord thy God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing will he withhold. And by the way, can you let him define good thing? A pastor that I am aware of, he's down in South Carolina, he recently wrote this. He said, for well over a year now, I've been asking God to take a thorn away. This thorn, this weight, this thing I've begged him to remove more times than I can count. But here's what I'm learning. Maybe the thorn isn't the curse I thought it was. When Paul prayed three times about a thorn being taken away, God's answer wasn't deliverance. His answer was his sufficiency. He said, I've come to realize my thorns keep me on my knees. My thorn keeps me dependent. It keeps me from trusting in my own strength, my own wisdom, and my own ability. Every time I want to forget I need him, the thorn reminds me. Some of us are actually praying for God to remove what he's actually using to hold us close. His grace really is enough. Even here, even now, even with this thorn, he is enough for me. Charles Spurgeon said this, I've learned to kiss the wave that throws me against the rock of ages. Folks, how did Jesus handle his unanswered prayer? He accepted it. He accepted it willingly as God's will. He accepted it for the glory of God. He accepted it. Now, does that mean that something you're praying for and you have been praying for, he will never answer it? No, that's not what that means. But you better come to accept some things. Some things just aren't going to change because he doesn't want them to, because they are in your best interest, because he wants to draw you close. And that's the way he's going to do it. Now, you know what I've decided in that? I've decided that I willingly want to draw close to him so maybe he won't have to do as much. But nonetheless, whatever he is doing is for my good. Whatever he is doing when he doesn't answer my prayer is for his glory. That has to be enough. That has to be enough. And if it's not enough, that means we don't know him well enough. We don't love him enough. What are you wrestling with? Can I say this? Doesn't mean you're not going to wrestle with it. But you have to surrender it like Jacob when he was wrestling God. What God said? God said, let me go. He goes, I won't let go until I get a blessing. So what did he do? Put his hip out of joint. By the way, that was prayer. He said, I want a blessing. Put his hip out of joint so that he went from wrestling to clinging. He had to hold on because he had no leverage anymore. There are people said, man, when he was done, I've heard preachers, when he was done, man, he got up and his hip was healed. There is no place in the Bible that it says that. God blessed him, but God gave him a limp, a painful limp that he had the rest of his life, but God blessed him. Our world today says, well, God didn't bless him because he had pain in his life. That's how superficial we are in our faith. No, sometimes it hurts, but he's always good. What's in your life? You just need to say, God, if this is for your glory, use it. What's in your life? What are you carrying that, look, it just might not get better. So what do? It's for his glory. It's for his glory. We don't know how, but we trust him. Father, I'm asking you to do something very special in our midst here. People are struggling with things that, Lord, the bottom line is, you're just not willing to say yes to. Because in the bigger picture, it's not the best thing. And in our limited minds, we don't understand that. But here's what we do. You're good. You're always good. Even when it doesn't feel good. So Lord, help us to live that way. Help us to live in that light of desiring to fulfill your will. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.